Thank you, praise team. And thank you for sharing the word as you sing your praises. You know, I really believe that God has a sense of humor. And the reason I say that is while I was giving you my shtick about growing older, he reminded me of something my granddaddy told me a long, long time ago. He said, son, he said, you're not old until you have to shave your ears. Why would God bring that up in the middle of the land? But he did. I don't think it was the enemy because it caused me to chuckle and have a light spirit. But I just wanted to share that with you real quick. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again. And now as we come and open your word, Lord, and finish up Proverbs, Lord, for this time, we pray that you will just bless what is preached here, that you will allow your Holy Spirit to speak from itself and not come from my heart, but from your heart. So, Lord, we turn it over to you and we ask that you will lead us in understanding this wisdom. We thank you, and in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I have a confession to make. You know, I stand here today to confess that I have envied and coveted things that God has blessed others with throughout my life. And I know this is not what God desires. Yet I'm torn with anger and sometimes torn with envy when I see others brag or boast in their wealth and their positions and their blessings. I'm not talking about someone who's worked hard. I'm talking about somebody who gets on Facebook and, hey, look at my Italian vacation and all this kind of stuff. And I'm talking about pastors. And that's wrong, folks. It's wrong to envy and covet. All of you know the struggles that I've had with cars and tires and gas prices and et cetera, and grocery prices. Man, I tell you, my daddy used to complain when we'd go to the local Piggly Wiggly. How many know what that is? Thank you very much. The local Piggly Wiggly. And he would spend $40 on groceries for a week. And man, he got so angry. And I went the other day and spent almost $200 on a week's worth of groceries. And these things add up. And then when I see somebody, especially hear them on the radio, about they're having contract negotiations and they need an extra $2 or $3 million a year, and I want to slap myself because I feel envy and covetousness. You know, why is this? Why do I think like this? It's because I'm human. I'm weak in the flesh. I've even doubted sometimes my call when things get tight. But what foolishness that is. What foolishness that has wrought in my life. My God and your God provides in the hour of need. He may not give you what you want, but He always gives you what you need to get through that moment. It may not seem it until after you're through that moment. The disciples in the boat when it was storming didn't realize what they had with them until after Jesus calmed the storm. And we see here that we need to understand that the Father has never nor will ever abandon any of His children. He may call them away from this evil world, or He may provide the goods necessary to get through this evil world. But either way, He is God and He is good. Can I get an amen? The reason I start out this text today, this sermon today, with this admission is because of what we're going to read in Proverbs 24, 1 through 7. So if you're turning your Bibles to Proverbs 24, 1 through 7, this is out of the King James that I'm going to read. I know some of you say, well, which Bible do you use? I use all of them as long as they are faithful to the text. Proverbs 24, 1 through 7. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all pleasant and precious... Wait a minute, I'll reverse that. Precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. So what I want to do... Well, excuse me, verse 7, I forgot. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Now what I want to do is I want to break this down into three sections, verses 1 and 2, verses 3 and 4, and verses 5 and 7. And as I stated in the prayer, this is going to be our last foray into Proverbs for now. We'll get into it a little bit more next summer, but for now this is going to be it. Next week is our mission emphasis. So I'm going to preach on the importance of us supporting and doing missions. And it's going to be very important because, folks, I don't know, we sing about it all the time, we talk about it all the time, but y'all know what's out there? There are people that we care about and we love that are going to hell because they haven't heard the true Word of God. They might have heard some TV version, they might have had some cult version, but how many have actually heard the real, legitimate Word of God? And it is incumbent upon us, His hands, His feet, the tool that He uses on this earth with the power and by the power of the Holy Spirit to reach people. And that's what wisdom does for us. It teaches us so that we will have the wisdom to live out our lives so that God can use us in the fields. Let's start with verses 1 and 2, Proverbs 24. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart steadieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Now, aside from the 10th commandment, where we are not to covet what we do not have and what specifically belongs to a neighbor, you know, we're not to covet their wife, we're not to covet their husband, we're not to covet their manservant or maidservant, or none of their livestock or any of their gold, we're not to covet that. This verse that we just read, 1 and 2, is a strong admonition to be content to what God has given us. And brothers and sisters, it is the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, that constantly tells us to not be content. Now, I want to stop right here for just a second because I want us to understand, I'm not talking about wanting something better in life. God gives us the desire. In fact, we'll talk about it in a few minutes. While God gives us not only the desire, but the ability to get a nice home and a nice car and a nice job and all these things, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, if I'm living in a pup tent in the middle of a hayfield, yes, I want something a little more sturdy. I may have to work my up to a two-wheel tow-behind trailer. You know, put a little cot in it, a little kitchenette, a little pot for you know what, and hey, I'm set to go. That's why I love camping. And then later on, if I have a family, I want something a little more substantial, a house over there. It's not wrong to desire those things. So don't mishear me. What I'm saying is we need to be content with what God has given us at the time. He gives us the ability to get more. He blesses us, absolutely. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we are to be content with the blessings that God has given us, whether material or spiritual. We are even told that to desire a leadership position in the church is a good thing. 1 Timothy 3:1, to desire a bishopric in the King James Version, to desire a position of leadership is a good thing. We are told to desire things greater than what we are by God so that He can not only bless us, but bless others around us with what He has given us the ability to do. What we are not to do is to desire to have the gain like evil people have. And do. What do I mean by that? Where evil people lie, cheat, or steal to obtain wealth and status, God ordains that His children, through faith, work hard and achieve things through Him. It is God who gives the blessing. And when we take our eyes off that and we start trusting in ourselves, well, let me just ask you this. How many times have you failed yourself? That's a hard question, but I see a lot of I see a lot of eyes get big, a lot of smiles I see, because we've all been there. We've all failed ourselves. How many times have we failed someone else? Quite a number of heads still shaking, yes. You see, brothers and sisters, when we try to do things in our own power and our own strength without being in line with God's will, failure is usually the predominant result. Now, we're not talking about people who don't believe in God. You know, as one old preacher told me, the devil gives things to his children all the time. But if you notice with the devil, it's usually temporary. If nothing else, it stops when you die. Now, when are you going to die? There's folks that live to be 100, 110 years old. I recall seeing a lady on television, she was from Texas, she was sitting on her front porch, and they said, what's the secret of your life? She said, I smoke 2 cigars a day, and I have a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 6. And she was 108, so I'm not going to argue with her. By the way, if any of y'all know the old Dr. Pepper bottles, they had the little 10, 2, and 6 on a thing. If y'all remember that, you're as old as I am. That's back when soda actually came in a glass bottle too. Think about that for a moment. God ordains that His children work hard and achieve things through Him. We are not to envy evil people in whatever material gain they have. Nor are we to copy them in behavior and or attitude in order to get that type of thing. Brothers and sisters, every one of us has heard the old thing they used to teach in grade school. It's a dog-eat-dog world. I never saw that until I fed a hot dog to a wiener schnitzel one time, a little wiener dog. I took a picture of it and I said, hey, is this what they mean? That and the old thing about you can't carry it with you until I actually saw a meme that had a U-Haul behind a hearse, so I can't use that illustration anymore. But the whole point of me saying that went over like a lead balloon. The whole point of me saying that is the evil people that we sometimes are tempted to copy, their hearts are bent on destruction. It tells us right there. Their heart studieth destruction. They study how to make these schemes. They study how to treat people. They scheme and they plot and they do all these things. Remember the two in the book of Acts. What were their names that sold the property but didn't give the good price? Wasn't it Ananias and Sapphira? See, I'm going to have to teach some of y'all in Sunday school again, all right? We lose a lot of things. What did they do? They tried to cheat the Holy Spirit. They plotted and schemed. God didn't need that money. He already owns the universe. He needs and wants and desires. I don't even want to say needs. He wants and desires the heart of people to trust in Him. As I believe it was Peter, as Peter told him, what caused you to do this? Was it not your property? Couldn't you do with what you wanted with it? We're not to envy and copy people who plot and scheme and do evil. We're to work hard and be content with what the Lord provides. We want something more, we work harder. We take opportunities that the God that we serve gives us to learn how to do things better, to sell our products, to sell our services, to make ourselves hard and industrious in life. Anything else is to feed our fleshly desires for power and prominence. Oh, I want it, but I want it the easy way so that people will look at me and look how smart he was. He didn't have to work. Now, yes, I am the very proponent, I am a proponent of the old saying that says it's easier to work with your head than your back. God gives you the smarts to do that. And as I had an old chief in the Navy tell me one time, he told me, you get paid for what you do, I get paid for what I know. That's a good thing to have, the ability to understand that. But there's still times when you got to dig in there with a shovel and fill up the wheelbarrow and move the dirt. Brothers and sisters, God gives us what we need, and He gives us what we desire if our desire is in accordance to His will. That's hard for some people to understand because they believe that, oh, you can say a few magic words and walk backwards around the Cadillac 9 times, and if you say the right things, if you say it in Jesus' name or whatever, God's going to have to give it to you. God doesn't have to do anything except what God wants to do. He is sovereign. And if He wants you to give you that Cadillac, God bless you. If He wants you to get a beat up Yugo, then God bless you. Anything else that we do outside of God's will feeds our fleshly desires. And are we so miserable in this pursuit when we're trying to copy evil people, when we're trying to scheme and plan and plot on how to get, you know, a little bit more, where our goal is not serving God or being honest and faithful and obedient to God, but being faithful to ourselves through selfishness? Are we so miserable when we do that? Yes, we are. When we envy and covet ill-gotten gain, or what we once called filthy lucre. How many of y'all ever heard that term? Filthy lucre. It's actually in the Bible, folks. In the King James, Paul talks about it. I'm a little disappointed I didn't see any hands then, but I did see some heads shaking up and down, yes, so that's good. If we pursue this, then we are at our most uncomfortable and most vulnerable to temptations from the enemy. If that's what our goal is set on, if that's what we got our sights set on, then we are going to be miserable. Why? Because you never have enough. You always want something a little bit more. It may not be something like money, but it might be something like prestige or status or being the big fish in a little pond. As they used to say, there's always a bigger fish, though. You got to be careful with that one. So, brothers and sisters, I need to be content with what God gives me. I may not be able to go on an Italian vacation, but I can have fun at the KC Zoo with my family. I can be content with what God has given me. I like the KC Zoo. This is not an advertisement, but I like getting on that choo-choo train and going through that tunnel. When Christine was a little, she would go through the tunnel and I'd poke her in the side and she'd go, "Wah!" when we were going through that dark tunnel. We had a good time. So what if I can't go out and spend thousands of dollars on wasteful things? God provides with what I need by hard work and loving friends. Let not my heart study schemes or wickedness. Let me be a man after God's own heart, as David was in his day. Let not my lips speak of mischief, but be filled with the praises of my God and King. The carnal desires that I have for what others may have, are overcome by the knowledge and trust in the Lord God Almighty and the faith that He has my back, that He, through His people, through His wisdom, through His knowledge, shares with what He has done. So don't be envious of evil people and their ill-gotten gains. Be content with what God has given you. He will give you the desires of your heart if your heart is aligned with Him. Let's move on to verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." See, it tells us right there. By knowledge shall the chambers of our house, the chambers of our heart, be filled with precious and pleasant riches. You see, all those things that I have envied and coveted of others can be had with the gift God gives. Through wisdom and knowledge, the house that wisdom, and I would put in parentheses, and faith, has built us to be filled with the blessings of God, here are called in this verse precious and pleasant riches. And what is more precious than the blood of the Son of God? What is more pleasant to be in an intimate and good relationship with the Father? His mercy and grace are the most pleasant wealth any man can possess. If you have nothing else and you have God, you have all you need and you have everything. You may not have anything on this earth, but guess what? You're not going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. I want to be satisfied with what the Lord has given, because He gives me out of love and mercy and grace. And the most precious commodity to which I cling in the hours of trial is the blood of Christ. You know, George Beverly Shea used to sing a song, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand," or nail-scarred hand, depending on which version you sing. You see, I'm not going to imitate George Beverly Shea because I don't think many people can, but I'm going to tell you what, those words are true. They're not Scripture, but they're true. And all truth is God's truth. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, because God will provide what I need in the hour of need. I'd rather have Him than riches untold. Folks, you can be the Emir of Brunei or the Sultan of Swahili or whatever out there. You got solid gold Cadillacs. You know, I saw a Porsche that the man was completely made out of chrome. You want to see an eyesore? Try driving behind that in 5 o'clock sunshine. They have vending machines with gold bars in some of these places, but they do not have God, and their wealth will perish with them. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. You can have a nice home and be content. You can have a nice farm, nice land, and be content. You can have a nice business and be content. But when your greed says, "I want more, I want more, I want more," that is where idolatry comes in. And instead of worshiping God who gives you what you need, you're worshiping a god of self who just desires more. And then, "I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand." Brothers and sisters, that is where we're headed. how many times I've seen folks pass, and they were in the company of something a lot more precious than an old paramedic sitting in the back of the truck. Something more precious than anything they had. I've told you the story, and I won't tell it again, but I've been there when Christ took a saint home. And there's no feeling like that. You want to talk about a high? You want to talk about a drug? Now, a non-Christian wouldn't know, have any idea what I'm talking about, because they don't know the Lord. But for one that knows the Lord, and they're there when that saint passes, it's an amazing thing. My very first church had a godly little gentleman pass, and he really liked being shiny. This was what we call BC, before Christine. And we were there, and he was passing, and he was passing at home. And we were crowded in this little old 10 by 45 trailer house. What was his name, dear? We can't remember. Oh, I can't remember that saint's name. Mr. Troy, that's it, Mr. Troy, thank you. See, my wife's got a better brain than I do. And that's God's truth too. Brother Troy was in his bed, and he passed, and Shiny got the honor of being with him right at his bedside and hold his hand. His wife was in another room. I was in another room counseling her, and he died of cancer, but he died in peace, and we all came and we all prayed. And I'm going to tell you, even though there was a little bit of sorrow, this was a godly man, and we had a godly time with a godly saint who passed into the presence of his Lord and Savior. Right there, while we were in that room, the angels of the Lord himself came and took him into heaven, because that's what the Bible says happened. While he wasn't perfect, he had a lot of people from the community show up at his funeral and say how much they loved this man. He was led by the nail-pierced hand. He didn't have much of nothing, except that little trailer house and his wife. But he had God, and that's all he needed in that hour. The rest of that song goes, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus more than anything this world affords today. This world doesn't give you eternal things. This world gives you things that stop when you take your last breath. But there is something else, brothers and sisters. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who died for you. There's a God who's waiting on you. And when you look in the eyes of Christ, you will know. You may know at this moment if you have a good relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit, because that's the Spirit of Christ that dwells in you. You will know you've made the right choice. These are the precious and pleasant riches I desire. Yeah, I do want a nice home and a nice car or a good meal, etc. But I would rather have Jesus more than anything. And I will go to my grave thinking that. So let's move on to 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs 24, 5, 6, and 7. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. You know, God gives us the wisdom to know Him and His will through many means. Through the Word of God primarily, through the moving of the Holy Spirit as you're reading that Word of God, through prayer, through other intangible things. You know, one time I wrote a, y'all don't laugh at this, but I wrote a poem one time. And the reason I wrote that is because I was driving to work and the sunshine was coming over through a foggy day like it was this morning. And the beauty of the sunbeams, it looked like almost like an atomic bomb blast. It was that bright and that beautiful. I hate saying that for that what I just said, but you understand what I'm saying. Just the rays were coming out and it was beautiful. And it filled me with a longing to be with the Creator. And He was in me in that moment. Or I recognized Him, because the enemy would not see that and think of God. The enemy would see that and say, man, I got to drive into this sunshine. I wish it was a cloud storm. That's what the enemy would do. No, the enemy filled me with hope joy. You see, one of these many means is the ability to talk with those who know Him also. There are many counselors in which we can trust. Much as though with good old Rehoboam, I hope I pronounced that correctly, sometimes we listen to the wrong counselors. Y'all remember this guy, Rehoboam, I think is proper pronunciation? Solomon's son, when Solomon died, he had two sets of counselors. He gathered all Israel to him because they were going to proclaim him king. And he had the older, well-seasoned, godly folk who said, relax the burden that your father had upon us. You know, I'm paraphrasing here. And be a good king. And then the younger fellas, they were like, oh no, you bring the hammer down on them. Be harder on them. That's the only way they're going to listen. Just do what you have to do. And he listened to the wrong folks, and what happened? Kingdom split. Folks in a multitude of godly counselors, there is strength. There are those who will tell us what we want to hear or tell us lies to get gain from us. You know, that's what a yes man is. He tells us what we want to hear, but at the same time, he's telling us yes so that we'll do things he wants us to do. Manipulation is another word for that. However, we must listen to godly counselors. For those who willingly and lovingly share the whole counsel of God with us, we are to listen to those individuals who are led by the Holy Spirit, as well as listening to the Holy Spirit Himself as we read the Word of God and pray for knowledge and wisdom. Folks, we cannot get away from praying ourselves to hear the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You know, there are many, many instances where people were surrounded by yes men and evil people who told them, but yet God kept saying, no, wait, hold up, stop, listen to that. Because you may not do the popular thing. You might not do the thing that's going to make you rich all of a sudden. You might not do the thing that all society wants you to do, but you will be doing what God wants you to do. And it is in line with His Word, and that's how you know it's a godly thing, because it's not going to contradict what His Word says. If you got to tell a lie to do it, don't do it. If you got to steal to do it, even if it's just stealing with a signature, don't do it. Why? Because God has counseled, do not do these things. And the people that practice such things, I'm not talking about making a mistake, I'm talking about doing it over and over and over and over again because you've got comfortable doing it, those will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Think about that for a second. Why? Because your relationship with God is not real. It's a game. God does not play games. The Bible tells us in Galatians, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you're sowing schemes, you're going to reap schemes. But you're going to be on the wrong end of it. Brothers and sisters, we are to seek the Holy Spirit ourselves in the Word and in prayer. We are to surround ourselves with godly counselors who provide a spiritual and, dare I say, eternal safety because they counsel us to believe in the Lord when they counsel us to do the will of Yahweh God. Those are the ones we listen to. But Brother Charles, you don't understand. These guys, they don't want me to have fun. No. Folks, I went through that teenage, young 20, young 30 phase. All of us have or will. Brothers and sisters, a lot of things the world tells us is fun is destruction. It tears apart our relationships, our bodies. It tears apart how we treat people and how we trust upon the living God who loves us and will forgive us if we repent and turn to Him. Brothers and sisters, it is the fools, because it says wisdom is too high for a fool, that we do not listen to. Why are they fools? Because they deny God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when I talk about a fool, a real fool is one who rejects the Almighty. And there are a lot of them. What they do, they reject God, but at the same time, they try to get us to believe any number of worldly or relativistic or downright demonic ways of viewing our world and our situations. You know, you just need to go out and you need to do this and do that, and then you're going to be wealthy. You're going to need to hide things. You're going to need to cheat people. You're going to need to do all this. Now, folks, they will never say that bluntly. That's the problem. They will always ease that into you with the words that you want to hear. Well, you know, I might. If I just do this over here, then I don't have to do this over here, and I'll get gain. Folks, unless it's godly, please don't do it. And I know every one of us in here, me included, have been a little hypocritical in this at some points in our past. We've tried to do things on our own. We tried to be godly one minute and then be plotting the next. It may not have been except when we were little, you know. Oh yeah, they've got that Planet of the Apes comic book over there I wanted. Boy, if y'all know what I'm talking about there, you're as old as I am. That little girl, she's going to walk away from her desk and all I got to do is reach over and get it and it'll be mine. I'll put it in my little book sack and I'll go away. I thank God there was a teacher who caught me. Because me and the Board of Education had a meeting real quick. And I didn't do that again. How many of y'all understand what I'm talking about, the Board of Education? Our principal had one. It was a gag that was on his wall. How many of y'all have ever heard of the electric paddle? A few of us. This was a big old oar from a fishing boat with the handle cut off, had holes cut in it, and he had two C batteries, duct tape it, and wires running through it. He never used it, but he had it on his wall to point at it. I'm going to use that next time. That scared the living daylights out of K through 3. Really did. But the real Board of Education was handled by the teacher. And when she did things to us, when we did things that were wrong, she used that to correct us. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that it worked in many cases. Every now and then you had a few hardcore cases that were just mean, but most of us, we didn't like that. And you know, that instilled wisdom to us. How did it instill wisdom to us? It told us that if we do something bad, there are consequences. We don't tell kids that now. We don't tell them that there are consequences to bad choices and there's consequences to evil actions. Now, we want to love them, but part of loving is making them understand that there's right and there's wrong. If I have a child and that child sticks its hand in a fire ant bed, I love it enough to yank it out of the fire ant bed, so don't do that again. I don't sit there and let the kid get eat up and have fire ants all over saying, well, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. Who am I to tell him not to? Folks, I want to throw Bibles at people like that, the hardcore kind with the stiff back that hits them right in the forehead. But I'm a man of peace, so I don't do that. Notice the sarcasm dripping from my voice. Anyway, we are to seek wise counselors. The fools who deny God tell us ways of viewing the world and our situations that are ungodly. And all I can say is away with them. Anathema to them. Let them be accursed. If they're trying to turn a child of God away from God, and I mean you may be a 90-year-old child of God, but you're still a child of God. And if they try to turn you away, away with them. Even Paul said, those that try to preach another gospel, anathema. For y'all that don't know what that means let them be accursed. Now God can forgive them, and I pray He does. I pray they repent and return to the Lord. But if they don't, stay away from them. As we said back in the first verse, what did it say? It said, their heart studieth destruction. They want to do these instructions. But folks, when we follow God and Him alone, He gives us blessings. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us mercy. Proverbs 10:22, one of the many proverbs that I skipped over, says this, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. What does that mean? When God gives you the blessings, you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to be scared that you're going to get caught. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it under cover of darkness. No, if God gives you the blessing, if you do it the right way, there's no sorrow in it. You can be happy. You can be blessed. You can be fulfilled. You can be content. Because what has God done? He's blessed you. Through nothing that we've done good, because we haven't. We're all sinners. But we've been forgiven and we're children of God, and the Father of light gives good gifts to His children. Number one, which is relationship with Him. I believe eternal life is the second greatest gift. The first greatest gift, I believe, is Jesus Himself and the blood that He shed on the cross. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. So what is this richness in which the Word speaks? It is more than material wealth, although that is part of it when looked at properly. This wealth is a relationship, the illumination of, the intimate knowledge of God the Father through God the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what I covet in a good way. I want that. If somebody has a great relationship with God, I want to have that type of relationship with God. Not because that person has it, because I want to know God in that way. Brothers and sisters, God tells us how to have that type of relationship with Him. To love Him. To believe in the one in whom He has sent, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. To have the faith that Jesus had in the Father. Because Jesus was part of the Father. And we as the children of God, being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, don't take this the wrong way, but we can be part of the kingdom of God. Some people try to say, well, we can be a God too. No, we can't. Okay? We are the creation. But what a wonderful creation we are. We are the children of God by creation. But we are also especially the children of God through the inheritance of Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, this is wisdom. This is wisdom that we can't get from evil men or people that study destruction. We can't get that wisdom from them. We can only get it from God Almighty. His Word. His will. His people that share it. And the path, the narrow path, that we have chosen to follow Him. So brothers and sisters, as I wrap up, let me say this. Stay away from the fools who lead astray. Please. The problem is when we start believing fools, we won't believe what God is telling us because our hearts become hardened. Yes, God can pull us back, but sometimes it's a painful journey to come back. So don't go on the journey to start with. Don't envy the materials or the lifestyles which you see them have. Do not take opportunity for the flesh to raise its ugly head and point you away from God. That's one of the reasons when I pray at the end or when I give the blessing as we leave, I say, God, walk with us. Point us toward You. Let us keep focused on You. Because that is the light on the hillside that we are working toward. Not the light in the tunnel, that's the train coming our way. They're both lights. But as you go down into the tunnel, you go to destruction. As you go up the hill to God, you're blessed. We're not going to be here forever, brothers and sisters. We must be content with what God has provided, and we must boast only in the cross of Christ. Thus, I have asked God many times to forgive me when I envy or I covet something, especially what I have not earned through blessing or hard work. I rely on Him for blessings and health. My life, my breath, my very heartbeat is in His righteous and holy hands. And honest to goodness, I wouldn't have it any other way. Amen. Praise team. Brothers and sisters, as we close up today, I do want to remind you that the purpose of this sermon was not to tell you you can't have anything better. That's not what I'm saying, because God does bless us with things that we have in life that we need, the things that are better. But what I do want to tell you is don't make the things that evil people have the goal of your life. Please don't do that. Make the blessings of God, the relationship with God, the goal of your life. He will give you what you need. In fact, if you read the Scripture, it says that He will not only give you life, He will give you life abundantly. You will have more things than you'll ever possibly know. I use this as an example. I had always wanted to be a pilot, but I couldn't because of my glasses. But through a loving church member at a church I served at for a while, he was a pilot, and he took me and Shiny up one time in a small airplane, and he let me fly that thing. And after I pried Shiny's knuckles from the back seat, and we landed, I realized I'd got to live a dream. I'd always wanted to go to England. That's where my ancestors are from. It was through a mission trip. And this again, this is B.C., before Christine, that Shiny and I got to go to England, and we got to preach the Word. My great-great 16-great-grandfather was kicked out of Bristol, England in 1641 because he was preaching the gospel instead of what the king wanted. And I got to return to England and preach the gospel at a little place called Oadby, a church. God gave me the desire of my heart because it matched His will. And He's blessed me many other ways. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, He can bless you too. And He will bless you too if you are in a right relationship with Him and you make Him the focus of your life. Never forget that. Let's stand, please.